ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized, text 14. Matra sparshastu kaunteya, shitoshna sukha dukha daha, आगमापायिनो नित्याः तांस्तितिक्षस्व भारत। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation of this verse: O son of Kunti, Krishna is telling Arjun, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, or sign of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Purport. In the proper discharge of duty, one has to learn to tolerate non-permanent appearance and disappearance of happiness and distress. According to Vedic injunction, one has to take his bath early in the morning, even during the month of Magh, January and February. It is very cold at that time, but in spite of that, a man who abides by the religious principles does not hesitate to take his bath. Similarly, a woman does not hesitate to cook in the kitchen in the month of May and June, the hottest part of the summer season. One has to execute his duty in spite of climatic inconveniences. Similarly, to fight is the religious principle of the Kshatriyas. And although one has to fight with some friend or relative, one should not deviate from his prescribed duty. One has to follow the prescribed rules and regulations of religious principles in order to rise up to the platform of knowledge. Because by knowledge and devotion only can one liberate himself from the clutches of Maya or illusion. The two different names of address given to Arjuna are also significant. To address him as Kaunteya signifies his great blood relation from his mother's side, and to address him as Bharata signifies his greatness from his father's side. From both sides, he is supposed to have a great heritage. A great heritage brings responsibility in the matter of proper discharge of duties. Therefore, he cannot avoid fighting. That is in the next verse. Why one should tolerate and perform one's duty? Yam hina vyathayantyete purusham purushar shabha samadukha sukham dhiram saha amrutatvaya kalpate. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. So, it's very good that we have begun Srila Prabhupada's desire to discuss scriptures morning and evening. It's actually a very good injunction. Actually, we should be remembering the Lord always. But at least during morning and evening, sandhya. Sandhya means between two junction between two different parts of the day. Night meets morning, early in the morning, when the sun rises. That's one sandhya. Morning meets evening at noon. That is second sandhya. And then evening meets night at sunset. That is, thus there are three sandhyas. Trisandhyam. Sandhya Vandana. And that time must be, we must remind ourselves of who we are, what is the goal of life, Am I utilizing every moment of that day towards moving that goal? Or am I caught up in the unnecessary necessities of life? Which we, out of ignorance, out of illusion, create in our life. Unnecessary priorities for which we give our lives, energy, time, practically the whole existence. And why is it unfortunate? Because at the end of the day, when we look back, we haven't become happy. The whole endeavor is to derive happiness. So much struggle. That's the nature of this world. Just to make the two ends meet. Struggle. It's like running behind a mirage in the desert. I don't know, much of us haven't had this experience. Therefore, it's just some theoretical thing for us. But if at all, those of you who have been trained in some scouts or something, they take you to a desert, make you to walk with just one bottle of water that you have to bathe and use for everything, whatever, for so many days. Then you realize the value of water. And sometimes the water's over. Walking in the hot sun, scorching sun from the top, scorching sand from the bottom and hot wind from the sides. Your whole existence is drying up. And the only real, only focus at that time is, where can I get water? Practically your life's energy is getting exhausted. You have very little left, and therefore somehow you gather up energy and desperately look for water. And far away you see beautiful, cool, crystal, clear water. And with whatever energy you have, you gather up all of that and say, one last dash for it. And you go with all energy and all hopes, dive there, simply to find some more hot sand in your mouth. That is very frustrating. Then you realize, my God, I thought this water, instead of quenching my thirst, it's increased more. This is exactly the situation of those in illusion who are struggling and struggling and struggling day and night, 7 days a week, 24/7, 365 days a year, aspiring, hoping, just this landmark and I'll be happy. Just this promotion and I'll be happy. Just this increment, just this relationship, just one more addition in the family, just one more, you know, success in life, what I consider a success, and then smooth sail for the rest of the life. But somehow, after doing all that, you got that success, you got that increment, you got that promotion, you got that relationship, you got whatever you aspired for, still there is some hollowness. There is some loneliness, dissatisfaction experienced within the core of any sincere, honest, straightforward person. Out of hypocrisy we may smile, have a facade, but the fact is, it's simply to hide the dissatisfaction, and the suffering, the misery at heart. Only for those who are honest, straightforward, is this Gita addressed. Arjuna was such an honest person. He used his intelligence. He was in between two armies. A warrior, knowing his duty, I have to fight. In the peak hour of his business, about to take the most crucial decision in his life. A decision which will not only mean the life and death for himself and his dearmost brothers, but life and death for 64 crores of people who had gathered there. And being a man of integrity, being an honest man of responsibility, being a man of principles, he did not want to take a decision for which he would have to repent for the rest of his life. So Gita is meant for those who want to live a life of principles, who want to live a life of integrity, who want to live a life of truth, and they are caught between two opposing forces. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Arjuna saw the futility. If he fought, he would be miserable for the rest of his life, because his own relatives were standing on the other side. How could he enjoy the property tainted with the blood of his own relatives? And if he did not fight, he would be miserable for the rest of his life. Every time he would see the loosened hair of Draupadi and the injustices and the sufferings that they had to undergo, his blood, his Kshatriya blood, his warrior blood would boil. He couldn't sleep. If he fought, he would be miserable. If he did not fight, he would be miserable. That is our situation in the world today. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. For those sincere, honest, principled men of integrity that Gita is spoken to, remove the dilemma. Because after he heard the Gita, he said, Nashto moha smritir labdhva tot prasadat mayachuta sitosmi gatasandeha krishye vachanandava. He had absolutely become, he had lost himself, his hair was standing on end, he was losing his powerful warrior, he was shaking. Not out of fear, but out of indecisiveness, out of compassion. Seeing the futility, the consequence of not being able to enjoy even after fighting this war. Seeing that I'll be engaging in such sinful activities, killing of so many people, unnecessary killing. That's what he thought. Destruction of family. So many crores of warriors will be killed, their wives will be widowed, unscrupulous men will exploit them. Situation will become hellish. This was a man who was a very responsible man. He was not fighting a war simply to enjoy the result, like Duryodhan. In fact, he said, Bhikshamapi haloke, I would rather beg and live, Krishna, rather than fight this war. Let them enjoy. Let them take away this. He wanted to run away from the battlefield. And the justification that he gave, anyone, if he spoke the justification of why he didn't want to fight, would consider him a very saintly person. Jai Shishi Radha Gopinath ki jai. Would consider him a very saintly person. But Krishna called him a fool. He said, Arjuna, if you don't fight this war, you're simply going to be a fool. Ashochananva Ashochastha. Arjuna began... Krishna began with this question, with this answer. Ashochan anvashochastvam pragyabhadam shibhasase gatasun agatasuncha nanashochanti pandita. You're speaking like learned man, but you are a fool, let me tell you, Arjun. Because this decision is not going to make you happy, not neither you, nor the people here, nor the world. You'll be miserable. It is not a proper decision. That is the first sign of a guru, to remove the misconception from the heart of his disciple. That's the first thing. Because unless you are convinced that the path that you are following is not the right path, how will you be inspired to take something else? Foolishly, a man is convinced that this is what is going to make me happy. The first thing is to convince him that the path that you are treading, my dear friend, is not the path that is going to give you what you are expecting. Prove it. Dismantle that foolish conclusion born out of ignorance, illusion, which leads to unnecessary dilemma as Arjun. And then he says, Natvevaham jatunasam natvam neme janadhipaha nachaivana bhavishyamaha sarve vayamatah param. First and foremost thing that Krishna says is, Arjun, you are not this temporary body which is full of ignorance, asat, achit, temporary, and nirananda, full of misery. The body is temporary, the body is full of ignorance, and the body is the source of all misery. Birth, old age, disease, death, inevitable. You must realize that you are Satchidananda, you are eternal, the soul is eternal, full of knowledge and blissful. You are seeking eternity. You don't want to die. You want to know the answers of every question. The ultimate question. Why are we suffering? How to overcome and find peace, happiness and bliss. And you want to become blissful, happy, satisfied, peaceful. Because that's your, as I think one of the freedom fighters said, freedom is our birthright. Similarly, becoming Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge and blissful, is our birthright in the human form, at least. To become Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge and blissful, is our birthright. Provided we know what our right, and to fulfill that right, you should know what your duties are. Therefore, Krishna says in the next verse, Dehi nosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara, tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namuhyati. That Arjun, this body, which is born, grows, stays for some time, produces offsprings, dwindles, and dies. The body is going to take its own course. Whoever you are, a saint or a swindler, whoever you are, the body is going to take its course. Therefore, just don't get unduly absorbed in trying to avoid the inevitable. However, focus on the real substance. And what is that substance? Self-realization, to realize who we are. What is our natural constitutional position? And try to be situated in that position of eternity, knowledge and bliss. So, the body will pass through all these stages, but dhiraha tatra namuhyati. A sober, self-realized person is not bewildered by such a change. He's not bewildered by such a change. Because that's the nature of the world. Every coin has two sides. Heads and tails. Right? Except in Sole. Heads. But that's not, government of India doesn't circulate that kind of coins. You have to head and tail. So, they are the two sides. And therefore he says, who is dhira? Who is dhairya? One with dhairya. Dhairya means patience. Who is not disturbed? He is very patient and sober. He doesn't lose his sobriety in any situation of life. That is dhira. He doesn't become restless. He doesn't become impatient. He doesn't become disturbed in any situation of life, which are the nature of this world. The moment you have a body, the soul has a body. Body means duality. Body means duality. Why? Because body has senses. And senses means something that is pleasing to the senses, something that is displeasing to the senses. Cold. Wow, so nice. Hot. Too cold. Misery. Too hot. Austerity. What is that? One devotee told me, man by nature is such a fool. He wants it hard.